Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy! And also a quick reminder, we do have a Patreon where Riley and I do a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket. You have access to that exclusively on Patreon at the $5 tier, which also gives you early Monday releases and all ad-free content. So check it out.
Today's trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, sexual assault, eating disorders, slut shaming, gaslighting, death of a parent, and toxic friendships.
I didn't know that was a trigger.
What was toxic friendships?
It says it on the list.
Toxic friendships. I mean, yeah, I guess that's triggering.
I mean, yeah. If I think about that one bitch,
ooh, it gets me going.
Why, yada. I'll swing on a bitch. I won't. I'm a puss.
I will.
And we have another review.
Yay!
And this one's from Alexandria 8998. And it says, 1,000 out of 10, will listen again. 1010, hands down, my favorite podcast. I follow a couple of smut podcasts, and this one tops them all. I love these girls, and their personalities go perfect together. I feel like I'm on a call with my BFFs talking about books every time I listen to them. I even went as far as to follow this podcast on TikTok and actually fangirled when they followed me back.
Hey.
Thank you.
And today's book is Icebreaker by Hannah Grace. And how many stars did you give it on Goodreads, Jenna?
So I read this last year. I gave it a 5-star.
Wow.
I did. I loved the witty banter between the two. And I think I read this like in between like a really sad book, and I really needed like a good pick-me-up.
Yeah.
And it's like light and fluffy, and it wasn't like sad or depressing. I liked it, so 5-star. And I also think that this is my very first human smut book.
Human smut.
Like, I was like balls deep at this point in like fairy dick.
I gave it 4. I think it's a book I could easily forget about, but it was really good. I had a good time reading it. It was very light and fluffy. The banter was good. The smut was okay. Mm-hmm. It was smut. The smut was smutting.
It's like a good rom-com movie, you know? There's so many good rom-com movies out there, but I don't remember half of them.
Yeah. So it was enjoyable, but it was basic.
Let's get it to it.
So the story starts out in the main character Anastasia's point of view. She's getting her ass chewed out by her ice skating coach Aubrey Brady for being sloppy on the ice, but that's because she's currently hungover.
Sorry, when you were saying she's getting her ass chewed out, I was like, damn, right into it. She is getting her ass munched on.
We are starting strong. She's skating with the best male figure skater the University of California Maple Hills has to offer. His name is Aaron Carlisle, and this would be their third year skating together as a pair. Everyone assumes that her and Aaron are more than partners, but she definitely admits that they've never had any romantic interest in each other whatsoever. As they get home, Lola, who Anastasia calls Lo, is super upset because she did not get the main part in the play that she auditioned for, and this girl, Olivia, got the part instead of her. Stupid Aaron is like, yeah, she's the hottest girl on campus, and just being super insensitive about Lo's feelings because he's a stupid boy and can't read the room, and like,
oh my god.
Aaron's the worst. I hate him. I'm gonna punch him.
Same. The next chapter opens up to Nathan's point of view. He obviously blacked out last night. He woke up in bed with the blonde next to him. She has long fake nails, a Cartier ring, a Rolex strapped to her wrist, and he's just so annoyed that he blacked out. But the basketball players are so persuasive, and they throw one hell of a party. He's more mad that he woke up next to a woman in his bed that he doesn't know who the hell it is. That is until she wakes up, and it's everything that's wrong with the rich girls here at Maple Hills. It's Kitty Vincent.
Kitty.
And he says there's nothing wrong with her visually. She's an absolute knockout, but she's a terrible fucking person and a huge fucking bitch. Nate's roommates are also all hockey players. His best friend is Robbie, that he's known since he was 5 years old. JJ is a senior like them. Henry is a sophomore. Henry hated living in the dorms and struggled to make friends outside of the team, so they offered him a spot at the house. They've always had an extra room because the garage was converted into a wheelchair-accessible bedroom for Robbie. Robbie is the assistant coach of the team after his skiing accident his junior year of high school. He was never able to regain movement in his legs, so now he uses a wheelchair. But before then, he was on the hockey team with Nate.
And this is why you shouldn't do sports. You just stay in your home. Don't do that.
And read some books.
That's true. No one's ever gone in a wheelchair from
reading a book.
All of his roommates were making fun of him for having sex with Kitty. And he was like, seriously, guys, how could you let me do this? And JJ was like, I tried to stop you from leaving with her, but you said she smelled nice and her ass felt good. Nate was drafted to the Vancouver Vipers right when he finished high school, but he put his education first since he knew that shit goes wrong in hockey all the time. And one unavoidable accident in your career is all over. Joining the NHL has always been his dream ever since he was a kid. His dad isn't super supportive of pretty much anything. He wanted him to stay home in Colorado and learn the family business and run the ski resort. And he definitely didn't want him to go out of state for college. And he definitely doesn't want him to sign up for a hockey team in Canada. He definitely has some raging daddy issues building up. Nate's group chat called the Puck Bunnies was blowing up today because Coach Faulkner said that they needed to meet in the awards room instead of the rink today. Usually that's the place they go when they're in trouble. And if they're being called there, that means that someone massively fucked up and he's really hoping it wasn't him. Coach Faulkner said when he arrived to the rink this morning, he found the rink destroyed. Someone smashed the generator and the cooling system and basically making the ice rink a swimming pool.
Damn.
And the dean and the director are furious. The director wants to hold a meeting in 5 minutes with every single student athlete. College sports are full of traditions and pranks when it comes to rival teams. And when he was appointed captain, he knew he was not going to let that happen on his watch. Stas's day has gone to absolute shit because her planner's off. She feels out of control and it's making her anxiety go through the roof. Luckily, because Ryan is a student athlete on the basketball team, he has the meeting too. He sees Stas in line and comes up to give her a kiss, and she tells him that she's stressed, and he gently says, "You control the planner, Stas. The planner doesn't control you." We love that, King.
I know, I love Ryan.
True.
Stas and Ryan sit together at the meeting, and before it starts, he offers her favorite barbecue chip. She says no. A cookie from his pocket. She says no, and he gives her a look of concern, and she's just like, "You know I can't gain any weight. Regionals are right around the corner." And he gets closer to her so they have more privacy, and he tells her, "As someone who throws her around a lot, if Aaron isn't able to cope with her weight fluctuating a few pounds, which is completely normal, then he shouldn't be her partner." And he's right.
Yep.
She tries denying the conversation, but thankfully Director Skinner begins his long, boring, harrowing speech on the behavior of the athletes. And as the meeting comes to an end, he asks for the hockey team and the ice skating team to stay behind. He drops the bomb that Arena 2, one of the ice skating rinks, is out of commission due to the extensive damage, meaning that they will need to share the rink until repairs are complete.
Oh no.
I know. Stas is literally, like, her mind is exploding right now. She's going complete apeshit. And they have regionals in 5 weeks. She's trying to get noticed to make it to the Olympics. And now she's spiraling even more, trying not to have a panic attack in the middle of the room. And her eyes lock on a guy talking to Coach Faulkner. And he lightly grabs her arm and he tells her that he's going to do whatever he can to make it easy on both of them. He lets go of her and takes a step back, and she's able to get a good look at him. She's 5'4", and he towers almost a foot over her.
Oh.
A tall boy.
And he's built as fuck. She's looking at him over, and he invites her over to a party tonight. She honestly just doesn't give a fuck. She's like, "You are..." That makes his eyes gleam with amusement, and he says that his name is Nate Hawkins.
Okay, Nate.
Okay, Daddy Nate.
Hey, Nate.
He's the captain of the hockey team, and he holds his hand out for her to shake, and she just looks at his hand and then back to his face, and she's like, "Were you not listening? We are not to party. We're not to do anything but what we're supposed to do and our studies. Like, that's it." He said that people will party regardless, so they might as well try to get along, and then he asks if she had a name. She's still playing hard to get because she refuses to be swayed by a pretty face, so she makes him feel like a dumb little boy by saying, "Do you meet a lot of people who don't have names?"
Okay, well, now you're just being a bitch.
She's so sassy. I know, she's fucking pissed. She's like, "Don't even look at me, don't talk to me." But he, like, isn't even mad. He just laughs it off. And then Aaron comes up behind her with his arms, like, draped around her shoulder, and she just, like, shrugs him off. And then as she leaves with Aaron, he mouths to her, "Remember the party."
Yes, Nate.
I know.
Yes, I will. I will remember.
remember it.
Nate waits until Russ is about to walk past him, then grabs him by the arm and says to meet him in his room and not to make him do this in front of the whole team. Russ walks to his room. He tells him that it wasn't a prank, that he met this girl at a UCLA party and they started hooking up. This whole time he thought she was single, but it turns out she wasn't. And once he found out she had a boyfriend, he blocked her, but not before her boyfriend sent him a message saying he was gonna fucking regret ever even looking at her.
Oh shit.
A couple hours later, there's a party raging at his house and he spots Miss I Don't Have a Name. She has her hair down, looking sexy as hell in black leather pants and a black lace corset.
Oh.
He walks over to greet her and introduces himself to Lola, then again asks for her name, and she finally tells him her name is Anastasia or Stassi. His best friend Robbie rolls up and puts the charm on Lola. She tells Lola that she has to use the restroom and asks if she was going to go with her, and she says no and she's going to stay with Robbie. And Nate offered for her to use his restroom. He obviously lives there and has a private restroom, so she doesn't have to stand in line, and they made their way through the crowd up the stairs to his room. When she gets out of the bathroom, she finds him sitting on his bed. While she's looking around the room, she finds out he's studying sports medicine, and she tells him she's studying business. She's from Seattle, he's from Eagle County, Colorado. She strongly dislikes hockey, and he immediately tells her that he'll get her ringside tickets for the next home game.
Cuties. He says, keep playing hard to get, baby.
It gets a little bit more serious when she asked who they terrorized enough to deserve getting their rink trashed, and he responded that they didn't do anything. And when she didn't believe him, he was like, I promise, Anastasia, and her eyes softened.
He lied. He knows exactly what happened.
Yeah, dirty little liar.
As they head back downstairs, he's leading them, and their interlocked hands are resting on his shoulders. When he gets to the bottom of the step, he sees her boyfriend standing there, staring at him like all hell is about to break loose.
That's not her boyfriend.
But he doesn't know that. Nate stops abruptly, and when she asks what he's doing, he tells her that her boyfriend looks like he wants to murder him. She's like, well, that's odd. I don't have a boyfriend. And she takes a look around his shoulder, and Aaron's standing there staring at them, and she's like, huh, he does look like he's about to murder someone.
And then Nate's like, oh, she doesn't have a boyfriend.
Aaron demands to know what she was doing upstairs with him, and instead of tearing into Aaron for being so weird and rude in front of an audience, she nicely introduces Nate and Aaron and definitely says that Aaron is just her skating partner. Aaron's been a dick to her ever since the meeting where Ryan told them they were going to go out to eat, and he said that she needed to fit into an outfit for regionals. He said that if he can't lift Stoss, then he needs to work harder in the gym. So now he's lashing out at Stoss, saying that he thought that she was upstairs collecting team captains like Pokemons and asked where Ryan was, because normally, usually he's draped all over her. Immediately, Nate had her back and told Aaron if he's going to be a dick to leave, and apologized to Stoss, saying he's upset because he knows what happened to the rink. And Nate responded too quickly, saying nobody knows what happened. Aaron said that some rookie couldn't keep it in his pants and knocked up somebody's little sister and then ghosted her. Nate coolly responds that isn't what happened, and that's when it sunk into Anastasia that Nate broke his promise he made to her earlier, and she felt so stupid for believing him in the first place. He apologized and told her that he didn't want to lie to her, but no one else knew, not even anyone from their team, and Aaron is probably lying too. She said, no offense, but your promises don't mean shit. He doesn't understand the pressure she's under or the sacrifices she has to make, and that's all because some kid doesn't know how to wrap his dick.
Okay, I mean, I understand her being upset, but like, I feel like they all have something at stake.
Yeah, he's trying to play for the NHL.
Yeah,
she's like, me, my problem.
Me, I'm the only one. I'm the only athlete here. That's how she's making it seem.
As she tells Nate to stay out of her way and she'll stay out of his, she goes to find Ryan and finds him on the couch with Olivia. Ryan immediately asks if she's okay, and she just brushes it off to Aaron being Aaron. And then she asks if they've seen Lola, and Olivia's like, oh, she's in Robbie's room.
Get it, Lola? Lola.
She's not jealous or mad that Ryan and Olivia are sitting next to each other talking, because she doesn't want a relationship with Ryan. Olivia and Ryan together would literally be perfect. If he found someone he wanted to date, she would never stand in his way and would be happy for him, because he's such a great guy and deserves to be happy. Ryan met her the next day at her job at Simone's Rink and brought her lunch.
That's so nice.
When he asked what happened with Aaron at the party, she gave him the play-by-play. Ryan can see Nate's side of the story from a captain's point of view and told her that Hawkins is a really good guy and not to hold it against him. And she said that she's going to, without a doubt, hold it against him forever.
No.
3 weeks go by and Aaron is the bane of Nate's existence because he won't shut up about what happened that caused Rink 2 to shut down. Robbie's birthday's in a few days and he asked Nate and the roommates 6 weeks ago to throw him a surprise birthday party. He said, hypothetically speaking, if they were still going to have one for him, if he can just make sure that Lola goes, because Robbie really wants her to be there. He gets to the rink in time to run into Anastasia. She, of course, says no. And when he says it's super important to both of their best friends' happiness, she finally was interested in what he had to say. And he told her about Robbie's surprise birthday party on Saturday and how he really wants Lola there. And she agreed. As she walked away, she sees Henry, pats his arm and smiles at him. And he says hi. The guys tease him that Henry is more game than he does. And Henry insists that he doesn't want to date her. He's just nice to her. Plus, she has a boyfriend. Nate's like, Aaron is not her boyfriend. It's just her skating partner. And he's like, no, not Aaron. Ryan Rothwell. They were making out and he was grabbing her ass. And all you could think about was fucking great.
Oh, you have competition.
They're just friends with benefits.
Friends with Benny's.
She just swallows his dick every Thursday night.
At 8 o'clock sharp.
Not 1 minute before, not 1 minute after.
Mm-hmm. It's a dick appointment.
They're going to be doing some team building exercises between the figure skaters and the hockey players. And they're pretty much doing a little speed dating thing where the figure skaters are sitting at a table and the hockey players are moving from table to table every 5 minutes. It's not real dating, but the goal is to get to know each other better. They're going to talk about their aspirations and hobbies, things that will help them get along with each other. Anastasia started to have a soft spot for the sophomore on the team named Henry. He told her that Nathan put an end to the prank traditions the minute he became captain, and he promised that there was nothing that Nathan could do to prevent this disaster. He told her that Russ, the impregnator, or not impregnator, has a really difficult time at home, and he was able to get a full ride scholarship here. Nate knew that if people found out that Russ might lose his scholarship, and with his parents not being able to cover the tuition, he'd have no choice but to head back to the life he's worked so hard to get away from. He also told her how Nate offered him a room in the house, even though he's a sophomore living with seniors, because it's really hard for him to make new friends. With everything that she's heard, and as annoyed she is with Nate, she knows that she should have given him a second chance. She meets with a couple more people. Three freshmen ask for her number. Then she meets with Robbie. Robbie said that he's hoping that they're going to spend the next 5 minutes talking about Lola. The activity is definitely working. It's hard holding a grudge now that she knows all of the guy's aspirations and motivations. The very last person on her list is none other than Nate. He cheerfully introduces himself to her and explains that they're starting over and everyone loves a fresh start. She can't stay mad at him forever. She told him that, she's planning on staying mad at him forever. Longer than forever, actually. He starts laughing, and instead of her trying to fight it, she just starts smiling too. He apologizes to her and asks if they could start again, and she caves and says that he's on probation. He smiles wide and said he's gonna nail it. I love that Nate is just, like, lighthearted and, like, no matter what, even when she's being a bitch, he just, like, smiles and, like, laughs it off.
I know. Oh, he's got the patience of a saint.
It's the day of Robbie's surprise birthday party, which is Vegas themed. Anastasia and Lola arrive, and Nate is literally drooling over how hot Stas looks. Homeboy has got it bad. Since she's wearing a tiny little dress, he compliments her and tells her that she looks beautiful. They decided to play a game of poker, and she plays him for a fool, saying that she's never played before, and then ends up stealing $200 from him.
Nice.
A hustling queen. She gets up to use the restroom, and he's like, come on, you can use mine again. They get into his room and she uses the restroom, and when she comes out, he's sitting on his bed again.
Are you ever going to forgive me? I ask hopefully. I told you, you're on probation. Raking a hand through my hair, the groan that slips out is pure frustration. That isn't a yes. Do I need to get on my knees and beg you, Anastasia? Is that what you want? She shakes her head and laughs. The only time I ever want to see a grown man on his knees in front of me, Nate, is when his face is between my legs. So no, I don't want you to beg me.
Okay, Stassi.
You know what you're doing.
Nate is watching her body language and her breathing deepens, her thighs squeeze together, she's wetting her lips, and he just smirks, and he's realizing that the attraction is definitely not one-sided. He's like, you want me on my knees, Anastasia? We can definitely make that happen. You don't hate me like you pretend to do.
No, she doesn't.
No, she does not. She, of course, is fighting it, and she's like, I'm not pretending. He's like, yes, you are. He leans forward and whispers in her ear, ask me nicely, let me show you how much I like it when you're nice.
That would have just had me dead.
I would have passed out. I'm deceased. She's still fighting it again, and she says, why would I do that when I don't like you? But her voice is betraying her because it's all strained and filled with lust. He says that she doesn't have to like him to scream his name.
Oh,
he is saying all the right things.
Yes, sir.
She tells him that she can give him a map to her G-spot, and he still wouldn't be able to get her off. And he sees that as a challenge, and he says, let's test that theory, shall we?
Yes, we should. Confidence.
I know. Every rational thought that Stas had in her brain just goes out the window. She doesn't even care if it's adrenaline or the tequila or the close proximity. She just wants his lips right now. He gets on his knees in front of her and hikes her dress up and lets out a groan of approval when he realizes that she's not wearing any underwear.
Fingers tickle up the back of my thighs until they can't go any farther. His huge hands sink into my ass, squeezing at the same time. He sucks my clit into his mouth in a way that makes me feel like I'm floating. I'm a wreck, a writhing, moaning, shaking wreck.
Woof. I'm trying to be like you, my girl.
Yeah.
True.
He finds her G-spot in like 2.5 seconds and it's game over. There is an earth-shattering orgasm that's going on, and then he takes his fingers out of her and sucks them into his mouth, never once breaking eye contact.
I might have to read this one.
It's been days since the party, and she's learned a few things about herself. She's great at running in heels. She found that one out when she was sprinting from Nate's room. She's laying down with Ryan in bed, and they agreed to the benefits aspect of the relationship was over now, that he's looking to ask Olivia out to be exclusive with him. He slept over last night because they watched a movie and fell asleep, but they didn't hook up. As her and a shirtless Ryan are laying in bed together, Lola enters her room with boxes and says that they have presents. When Stas asks who the presents are from, she says that they're from Nate, and then a signature sound of FaceTime starts ringing. Before Stas can stop Lola, Robbie answers the call with him, Nate, and JJ in the background.
But Ryan's in there!
Anastasia, of course, feels weird because she's been avoiding Nate since he gave her the best head of her life 5 days ago. They open the box and it contains Titans jerseys that has their last names on it. They thank them for the gift. Before they hung up, they heard Henry say, "Is that Anastasia? I thought she was avoiding you, Nathan."
Oh!
Ryan and Lo's eyes swung over to Stas right away, and Lo is like, "What aren't you telling me?" Stas never said anything to Lo because she had the whole "what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas" mentality, but it's clear now she has some explaining to do. Lo threatens that if she doesn't tell her bestie what happened, she's calling Robbie back and he can tell her. She throws the cover over her head and she says, "He went down on me at Robbie's and I ran off." And they were like, "What?"
And Ryan's still right there.
Yeah.
They're just friends.
Okay.
She said that it was an accident, a moment of weakness, and she's been avoiding him ever since. Lola said it's been almost a week, and then she turned to Ryan and asked if he knew about it, and he was like, "No, he was on a date with Liv on Saturday, so he didn't make the party." He's interested to know how people accidentally have oral sex, though. She dishes out all the details, and Ryan takes her face in his hands, and he says, "Stas, you know I love you, but you've got to stop being so fucking stubborn. Hawkins is a good guy. Fuck him, don't fuck him, but since when do you avoid people you hook up with?" Lo jumps in, and she says, "You should definitely fuck him." And then Ryan was like, "I agree, you should definitely fuck him."
You should.
She's looking at her two best friends and then she nods and she says, "For science."
Fuck that man.
The chapter starts out with Nate saying, "Have you ever seen a woman sprint in stilettos?" He has. Last week, he didn't even get a chance to get off his knees before Anastasia's hand was straightening her dress, reaching for the door handle. She gave him one last look post-orgasm and then she got the fuck out of there like the Roadrunner. She was moving so quickly, he was surprised that there wasn't smoke behind her.
She was like, "Oh, fuck."
She was like, "See ya!
I gotta go." You know what's funny is one time when I was like 15, I went to the movies with my friend and she invited these boys. I had never met them. I was a very timid, scared teenager and we were holding hands in the movie and then something in my head just clicked while we're watching the movie and I was like, "I can't be here. I'm holding this boy's hand. I can't do this. I can't do this." And I ran out of the movie theater and I waited like an hour for the movie to be done for my friend to come out.
What did the boys do? Did you ever see them again?
No, I hid.
Oh. Was she like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, she was like, "What the fuck happened?" And I was like, "That was too much. I can't hold a boy's hand.
What's wrong with me? Why do I feel this way?"
So I get it. I would run too.
Of course, he didn't think that that was going to happen when he brought her upstairs. He didn't think that she'd end up crying his name and that he'd be sucking the taste of her off of his fingers. Uh-huh. He's been repeating those moments in his room every time that he's jerked off. He thinks that obviously this interest is one-sided after seeing her in bed with Ryan yesterday. And every time that she sees him, she darts off in the opposite direction. The thought of her potentially dating Ryan and hooking up with him at the same time makes him feel ill because he hates cheaters. But his gut was telling him that that's not the case with her. Today, he wants to try to catch her to talk to her about whatever is going on between them. Nate made his way to the rink while Stas and Aaron are practicing. He's never seen her skate before because usually like one arrives while the other one's leaving, but today he got here 20 minutes early. He's watching her skate across the ice with grace that he's never seen anyone possess before. He's completely mesmerized. He feels the change in the air before it happens though, and they go to do a jump, and the next thing that he knows, Anastasia skids across the ice and slams harshly into the board on the other side of the rink. He's been slammed into more boards than he can remember, but that's when he's been in head to toe full total hockey equipment, and she's in leggings and a long sleeve crop top. The music stops and Aaron pulls her to her feet, checking to make sure that she's okay. Stas says to just give her a minute and that they'll go again and that she can land it. She knows that she can, and Brady says it's not up for discussion. She starts crying and Aaron tries comforting her, saying that triples are still hard and not many people can even do it. She's still crying and saying that she's worked so hard towards the quad and she just needs to go again, and she knows that she can fix it. Nate's trying to go over to comfort her, and that's when he sees the stream of blood escape down her hairline and run down her temple. And he tells her coach that he's trained in first aid and she needs to go to the hospital, but the wound needs cleaning and wrapping before she goes anywhere. Brady agrees, and he tells her that he's gonna pick her up and carry her to the first aid room. She asked why he was there that early, and he tells her that he wanted to see her because she was avoiding him and he wanted to make sure that she was okay. She starts to say something, but then stupid dickhead Aaron comes in and ruins the moment.
Fucking Aaron. I hate Aaron.
Nate asks Aaron if he could drive her to the hospital and instructs him not to let her fall asleep before they get there, and Lola needs to check on her when she's sleeping. And Aaron's like, no, I'll do it. And Nate's like, no, I mean like at night when she's sleeping. And he's like, yeah, I'll check on her. You know we live together, right? And he's like trying to keep it cool, calm, and collective. But he's like, okay, that's fine. Like, feel better. Good luck tomorrow, guys. And surprisingly, Aaron says you too, which is weird because usually he's a fucking dick. It's competition day and Anastasia and Aaron qualified for sectionals. Aaron says that they're going to go all the way. He can feel it as long as they keep up with what they're doing, and she sticks to her meal plan.
Okay, shut up, Aaron.
Lola's giving her a play-by-play of the game right now, and she said that Stas's man is fine as hell because they have their first home game. Anastasia asks what's happening, and she says that Nate keeps sliding them in so easy, just like he did with her kitty cat.
Meow.
They're about to head out to the Honey Pot, which is the most popular nightclub in Los Angeles. It's super exclusive, and they only get in because their neighbor Briar works there. As they get to the club, she notices that there's someone missing, and then suddenly hands land on her hips from behind her, and someone whispers in her ear, you shouldn't be drinking when you have a head injury.
Okay, daddy.
I know, he cares. She turns around and faces Nate, and sees an angry-looking cut on his cheek. She reaches up and runs her thumb over it, and says, did you try to do a quad lutz too? He laughs it off and says, yeah, you made it look so easy, I thought I'd try. There's definitely some heavy flirty going on, and he says that it turns out people from Washington aren't very friendly. She's like, this is a vicious lie, Hawkins. We're famously friendly. He said, I will need you to show me because I'm struggling to believe you, and then winks and walks away.
She's hella soaked.
Anastasia and Lola were on the dance floor dancing their booties off, and the whole time Nate is just drooling over Stas because she looks so good. Finally, they decide to make their way back to the boys, and Lola drops down on Robbie's lap, and Stas sees that there's nowhere to sit. Just as Nate is about to tell her to sit with him, she leans down and whispers something into JJ's ear. JJ laughs at whatever she said to him and then spreads his legs wide and lets her sit on his knee. She threw her arms around his neck, and Nate is surprised the drink that he's holding isn't breaking due to how hard he's gripping it. He throws back the rest of his drink, and he doesn't care if he's letting jealousy get the best of him. He walks past his teammates, bends down to whisper in her ear, dance with me. And she says, only because you want today, then leads him to the dance floor. Nate's remembering that he doesn't even know how to dance, but he just knew that he wanted her body on his, not on JJ's. The song turns into something slower, darker, and dirtier, and she's straight up seducing him. His dick is painfully hard, and she's grinding on him.
I wonder what song it was.
I just pictured, like, love in this club.
I wanna make love. I don't know why my brain is like, come, girl, I'm trying to get your pussy wet.
You know what I'm picturing is that, let your hips swing. Na 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 na.
And she's like moving slow on him.
Yeah. The song ends and they were enthralled in each other's gazes, just moments away from making out. And Lo ruins the moment by saying they're ready to go.
Ugh,
Fucking they all squeeze into an Uber together, and Stas is sitting on Nate's lap in the back. He's trying his hardest to be on his best behavior, but Stas notices he's not touching her, and she wraps his hands that are gripping the car seat around her body instead, and giggles when she realizes that he's rock hard. She said if it makes him feel any better, she's so fucking wet, and places their joined hands on her inner thighs.
Oh my god.
And then she says, and I'm not wearing any panties.
Slut.
So the ride home is getting hot and heavy. They're basically dry humping each other in the back of this Uber. He's pinching her nipples and she's like writhing and begging. He kisses her roughly and passionately and he grabs her throat and possessively squeezes it.
Ooh,
we love that. His voice is rough and he tells her, I can feel how wet you are all over your thighs, Anastasia. She says that it wouldn't be all over her thighs if he'd do something about it.
Okay, girl.
She says, slurp it up, peasant.
Get down there. Take a sip.
Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift comes on the radio and Chris turns it all the way up. Everyone is jamming out and they're basically in their own world back there. So Nate nudges her legs apart and asks if she could be a good girl and be quiet. She nods eagerly and he slowly drags one finger over her clit.
Oh.
She's so horny. She's not playing around. She's like, if you don't know what you're doing, just let me know because I'm so close to doing it myself at this point.
Swapping to the heel of his palm, his other hand tightens in my hair. One day I'm gonna fuck your pretty little mouth and you're not going to be able to be such a bossy, impatient little brat. He covers my mouth with his, absorbing my satisfied moan as two fingers slide into me, deliciously stretching me. I shouldn't have promised to be quiet. You're going to come for me? Come all over my fingers, Anastasia? Show me what it's going to feel like when you've got my dick buried inside of you.
I feel like that'd be too much pressure and I'd be like, it's gone.
I'm not. Sorry. She's gone.
I can't be pressured.
Don't ask me that. Now I'm not.
No, because now I have to and that means I can't.
It's like when somebody says bless you before you sneeze. Bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that pisses me off.
But she does come. After she comes, he takes his two fingers out of her and he tells her to open her mouth and he presses his two fingers into her mouth and she sucks.
All in the car with a bunch of other people. Hot.
Imagine someone just turns around real quick.
Yeah, terrifying.
Bestie Lowe knows what's good though and she goes, it's too hot. Need fresh air. And rolls down the window. Like so awkward because she could obviously like smell the smell of sex in the air.
Oh god. God, that make me so uncomfortable.
She's like, I can smell your puss. Yucky.
They get back into the house and they make their way into Nate's room and Stas tries putting in the code and she's like, it's not working. He's like, are you putting in the right code? And she's like, yeah, 2539. He's like, that is not my code. She's like, oh, that's the code for Ryan's room. Nate doesn't say anything for a while and then he's finally like, Ryan. Yeah, I forgot about him somehow, the guy you're fucking. And she's like, we're not hooking up. She explains the whole friends with benefits situation and how they stopped because he wants to date Liv. She also said that he's her best friend. And the other night when he saw him in her bed, they didn't do anything. Not that it's any of his business. And then she asked why he was jealous. He said that he was jealous because he wants her all to himself. She tells him that her and Ryan worked so well because he didn't get jealous. And he was like, okay, cool. I'm not Ryan. I don't want to share you with anyone else. I can keep you perfectly satisfied in every way. She starts panicking though because it's starting to sound like they're seeing each other exclusively and she has like major commitment problems. And he's like, stop overthinking and fuck me. It's not that serious. She's laying on her back and he climbs in between her legs and she's asking him if he has the condom and he moans and he says he fucking hates himself, but they're not having sex. Of all the things she was expecting him to say, that definitely was not it. He says that he doesn't want to have sex with her. Well, he definitely does, but not like this. Not when she's drunk and he doesn't want to have another week of her avoiding him. He can't take it. He wants her to have a clear head when she decides she wants to have sex with him.
Oh, we love that. But I feel like in that moment, if I was her, I'd have been like, oh my fucking god.
She is.
She just wants him off of her and she grabs the t-shirt and puts it on and she just feels super embarrassed because despite his words, she feels like he only wants her if she can offer him more, which she can't do, and she starts crying. He's trying to soothe her, saying that he wants her so badly, he just doesn't want the first time they have sex to be something that she regrets. And he asks if she wants to cuddle and she's like, no, she's not a cuddler. And then he kisses her goodnight. She waits until he falls asleep before she requests her Uber.
Oh,
running away again.
Nate woke up feeling like the biggest douchebag ever. He realized halfway through the night when he went to go wrap his arms around her that she was gone, and he doesn't really blame her. When he goes downstairs, he sees Lo, and he's like, what's your apartment number? He's been calling Sasha. She's not answering. He's gonna go drive there to make sure that she's okay. And she's like, I wasn't about to let her go into an Uber drunk by herself, sad, wearing just a boy's t-shirt. She's upstairs sleeping in Henry's room. He's like, where did Henry sleep? And she's just antagonizing him, saying, I don't know, probably snuggled up next to her. He knocks on Henry's door and no one answers, and then he hears laughing and he knocks again and still no one answers. He knows Henry's passcode, so he just helps himself in, and Stas is under the covers with no makeup, wet hair, and a large coffee in her hand. When she sees him, her smile falters just a little bit, and then she forces it back up. Nate apologizes, and she says that he doesn't need to apologize. He's allowed to withdraw consent at any time. He's like, yeah, I'm glad you know that, but that's not the case here. He wasn't withdrawing anything. He was just jealous. He didn't want to have sex with her, then have her disappear and have them go back to square one. She listened intently to what he was saying, then opened up herself and told him that she struggled with rejection since she was a little kid. And last night when he rejected her, it was just super overwhelming because she just wanted to hook up. She felt bad for leaving, but she was super uncomfortable because they hardly know each other and she wanted to get away from the situation. Later in the night, he texts her asking where she's going, and she's like, who's this? Wrong number. Sorry. Meeting some bikers, big bikers, all full of sperm.
Jesus Christ.
He calls her a brat, and she's like, I'll tell you what, if you find me before midnight, you can finally fuck this pretty little mouth of mine. That way I won't be able to be such an impatient, bossy little brat.
Oh my God.
I wish I had a mouth like that.
I know, me too.
I don't.
I've been married to my husband for 6 years, and I'm still like, hey, you wanna bang?
Hey there, cutie. You wanna do sex to me?
He tells her that she's going to look so good with his cock in her mouth, and she just says, happy hunting. 12 minutes away from midnight now, and Nate FaceTimes her. She accepts the call. She lets him get a view of where she's at, and he's like, you've had me running around Maple Hills looking for you when you've been in my bedroom this entire time.
Little trickster.
She's like, no one told you that there's a party at your house tonight. It sucks that you're far enough away that you won't be home by midnight. Guess I'll have to find someone else to be bratty with.
This girl.
She was able to convince J-Day to throw the party by telling him her evil plan. They have an unlikely partnership rooted in the mutual enjoyment of annoying Nathan. 3, 2, 1, the clock struck midnight. He's 30 seconds away now. They know because Bobby and Chris have been on Nate duty all night and have been giving them updates on where he is and his frustration levels.
Poor guy.
He walks through the door and he looks pissed, which makes JJ smile. She decides to meet him halfway so he doesn't kill JJ, and as she's walking, she sees Summer. She's their neighbor and lives with Briar, the friend who works at the honeypot, and she's whispering into Nate's ear, and he locks eyes with Stas and then winks at her. Nate takes Summer's hand and leads her up the stairs. A feeling that Stas is not used to feeling at all is churning in her stomach, and she realizes that it's jealousy. JJ tells her that Nate's been crushing on Summer ever since freshman year. She watches the stairs the entire time, and after about 10 minutes, she finds Summer sitting on the stairs alone, then goes to find her friends and carries on with her night. Stas storms up the stairs and enters his keypad in, and Nate's sitting on his bed. She was like, what the fuck was that? He asks if she's jealous, and she's like, I'm annoyed. You made me look like a fool in front of all of our friends. He was like, ditto. You had me running around campus when you were where I've wanted you the whole entire time. She's like, you just fucked another girl at this party that I'm at. He stood and gently tucked her hair behind her ear and told her that he never fucked Summer. She got her period and asked to use his bathroom. He knew that she saw her come up to him and that she'd be so pissed, so he's been waiting for her to come up to him and get angry at him. And she's like, well, I am angry. And then they have a hot, steamy makeout session. They're bumping and grinding and filling each other up, and it's getting hot and heavy in Nate's room, and I am here for it.
Do it, do it. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Suck a dick, suck a dick.
Yeah!
Stas undoes his belt and pulls his pants down, and now he's standing in only his boxers, and without even seeing his naked cock, she just knows that he's huge.
That boy is packing.
He tells her that he's been tested and clean before pulling his boxers down and whipping out his dick. He tells her to stick her tongue out and calls her a good girl when she greedily takes him into her mouth.
He asks her too, like, do you want me to put on a condom? And I was like, for a blowjob?
Disgusting.
I know.
I think sex workers do that.
Do they?
What?
Sounds horrible.
I would hate to suck on a condom. I mean, I understand why they do it, but I would never.
Ew, no. That little blip of encouragement fueled her to enforce the Gluck Gluck 3000, and she sucked his dick like she was starving for it.
Was that in the book?
No.
A series of expletives echoes around the room. His other hand sinks into my hair on the other side as I take control. I wrap my hand around the base and move it in rhythm with my mouth, moaning and gagging, looking up at him with watery eyes. His head falls back, stomach muscles flexing, deep, satisfied grunts as his hips drive forward, nudging deeper. So fucking good, baby. You are so fucking good.
Thank you.
We love an encouraging king. After he comes in her mouth and she swallows every last drop, she tells him that she still feels pretty bratty and impatient. Nate tells her to ask nicely and he'll fuck her so good. She goes to the middle of the bed and she tells Nate to stand at the edge of the bed and she shimmies her underwear down and spreads her legs wide, dipping two fingers into her wet pussy, moaning his name. Nate looks like he's about to have a stroke and his dick is immediately hard again. He goes into a drawer and rips open a condom, sheathing himself, then crawls onto the bed towards her. He grabs a spare pillow and tells her to lift her hips and puts it under the bottom of her back, then looks her deep into the eyes and asks her if she wants him to fuck her. That was such an easy answer. Yes. Yes, she does. Same. He affectionately says he'll be gentle and she's like, do not be gentle. She wants him to fuck her like he hates her.
I'm gonna fuck you like this tight little pussy is mine. You'll take it like a good girl, won't you?
Yes.
She thinks that he gave all of his cock at once and she just calls him a show-off and he's like, I'm only giving you half, but I think you can take more. And then he thrusts the rest of himself into her. He's hitting in all the right places and she comes with his name on her lips. She asks if he came and he's like, not yet. He wants to see her ride him. She climbs on top of him and sinks down, taking every single inch of him. She's riding that dick like a goddamn goddess. He has her coming again though, and when she's coming down, he pulls out of her and then flops her on her stomach. She tells him she can't go again and he asks if she wants to stop and she's like, no. And he's like, okay, good, hold on to the bed. And then he gives her a smack on her ass.
Nice.
He's fucking her doggy style, and just when she almost can't take it anymore, Nate tells her not to be a quitter, and she comes again. And this time, Nate comes too. He starts the shower, picking her up and stepping both of them inside. Then he starts to wash her hair. She tries to fight him and tells him that she can do it herself, and he's like, why would you do that when I'm here to do it for you? After the shower, he wraps her in the biggest, fluffiest towel that he has and gives her the comfiest Titans t-shirt, and she snuggles up to him and falls asleep on his chest. Nate takes her to work like a chivalrous king, and he just wants to spend any moment that he can with her. Then he picks her up from work. He asks to see her planner and she gets defensive and panics and she's like, no, why? He asks when she started like having such like a meticulous planned lifestyle. She said that she's been like this since the age of 9. She's like, I can get into it, but it's pretty deep for a Saturday. He said that he's good with deep. She explains to him that she's always knew that she was adopted and that her adoptive parents are so supportive and super loving people, but she's always felt this crushing anxiety when she knew how good she was at figure skating and everyone said that she would be an Olympian one day. It brought on so much pressure as a kid because she thought that her parents wouldn't want her anymore if she failed. She knows it was just severe anxiety, but at that age it spiraled into an intense obsession, and the planner started out as a therapy activity for what she would like to do with free time outside of practice and school. Nate listens to every word that she says and keeps the conversation light and supportive and thanks her for sharing. As she walks into her apartment, she hears Aaron and Lola fighting, and the second Aaron sees her, he walks over to her and pulls down the neck of her turtleneck and says that she needs to tell Ryan to eat a decent meal before letting him near her because it looks cheap as hell and he's not skating with her at sectionals if she has those. Lola tries to have her back and tells him to get off her dick but has a slip up by saying don't be a little bitch because he's not getting laid, and Stassi finally gets the hockey hype. When Aaron is about to say that she doesn't respect herself, Lola says, do not finish that sentence. I fucking dare you, Carlisle. Finish that sentence and see what choices I make.
Shut up, Aaron.
He's a bitch.
He is a bitch.
So this happened on a Sunday and it's Thursday now, and Aaron has not said two words to her. On practice, they were all out of sync and Aaron's movements were tight and sharp, and every time he lifted her, he grabbed her too tight. When practice was over, Nate walked up to her and he was like, do you want me to kick his ass? And she's like, if you want to do that, we can't compete at sectionals in 2 weeks. But if we don't qualify and you happen to hit him with your car,
hit him with your car.
Nate's been trying to find something for her to eat since they got back to his house, and finally Stas said that she's hungry, but anything that he suggests, she says that she can't have or it's too many calories or carbs. As they're sitting there trying to figure out what to eat, she gets a FaceTime and it's from Ryan. She answers it and he's just calling to check on her because he ran into Lo and she told him that Aaron was being a dick and they're going to Kenny's Wings and wanted to see if she wanted to go. She says that Aaron's just being a dick and he's always in a bad mood for competitions. She would kill for wings, but she can't.
And Nate was like, I said wings earlier and you said no. And she rolled her eyes and whispered calories. But it's not quiet enough for Ryan to not hear. And he's like, did you just say calories? Is that asshole trying to control what you're eating again? Also, who are you with? She pans the phone over to Nate and then insists it's because of sectionals and no one is controlling anything. It's just her diet. When she looks back at Ryan, he's smiling ear to ear and he's happy that she took his advice and won't intrude on their evening any longer. Nate's like, what advice? And she's like, oh, Ryan said I should stop being so hard on you and give you a chance and said you were a good guy. And then him and Lo said I should fuck you for science. And Nate's like, you know what? I love Ryan. I take back anything else I ever said, because earlier he was like super jealous over Ryan.
He said, that's my dude now.
It's Halloween and they go to the honeypot and all the boys in the hockey team, they're all dressed up as minions and Nate is dressed up as Gru and his eyes won't leave Stas as they start from the bottom for where she's wearing thigh-high black boots and just a Titans jersey as a dress with a belt cinching her waist.
Oh.
And she swoops her hair over like seductively and gives a slow sexy spin so they could clearly see the name on the back of the jersey. She bets they didn't expect her to be JJ for Halloween.
Oh, that's not what I thought.
Just as she's about to follow Lo to the bar, she runs into Nate and he says, come with me. He follows her down like a hallway into a room and he's like, in. And she's like, make me. And he just picks her up and plops her over his shoulder and puts her into the bathroom with him. He says she either takes off the jersey now or he will rip it off of her body. She's egging him on and she says that he seems angry, but he should find a way to channel his rage into something rewarding. He says that he's so fucking angry with her and then lifts her up and kisses her, slamming her against the wall. He tells her this is her last chance to take the jersey off and she says, but JJ's her favorite hockey play. And then she doesn't get the chance to finish her sentence before her belt is off and the jersey's off her body across the room. Ooh. Under the jersey, she's wearing her real outfit, which is a tiny Titans cheerleader outfit, and says, how much do you like being able to walk straight? And she's like, eh, never really been a fan. He tries teasing her with the head of his cock and he's trying to get her to beg, but she won't beg. So she's like, let me put the jersey back on so you can look at JJ's name while you fuck me. And then he jams his dick into her in one hard thrust.
Nate's fingers sink into my ass cheeks, using his grip to fuck me even harder, and all I can do is cling on for dear life. Every thrust is as delicious and as punishing as the last. The sound of slapping skin echoes around us, and his teeth sink into my lips as he grunts and moans, driving me harder into the wall. The orgasm comes out of nowhere and hits me like a freight train, but he doesn't pause. He doesn't even slow down. He lets me cry into his chest and claw at his shoulders, and when I finally stopped spasming, his arm hooks under the one leg and navigates up to his shoulders and then repeats on the other side. Woof!
He like folds her like a little
lawn chair.
Yeah. They rejoin the group and she notices Aaron and Lo standing together. And Aaron's holding his arm and Lo's expression is wide, and that usually said shit's about to hit the fan. When she greets Aaron and he doesn't say anything back, she realizes that the arm that he's clutching isn't actually a costume. Her stomach sinks and she asks him what happened to his arm, and he just says, ask your boyfriend, Anastasia.
What?
Nate's had a migraine for well over 24 hours, and it all started when Aaron stood in front of him with a busted arm, busted hip, and blamed him all for it. Everything flew into chaos after Aaron accused him of doing that, and he tried talking to Stas, saying that he didn't do it and that he never touched Aaron, but she immediately flew to his side, not caring about anyone else. She had a broken heart, saying that she's not going to be able to compete at sectionals, and started crying. He never touched Aaron, despite joking about it. He would never jeopardize her dreams. She didn't talk to him for the rest of the night, and the next day she texted him saying that she needed some space because she didn't know what to think. She was stuck between her partner and Nate, both promising they were telling the truth. Apparently, Aaron's story was he told the coach that something was on the floor outside of his locker and he slipped. He told Stas that someone saw Nate do it and told him afterwards, but he claims that he didn't know the witness's name, but he's not told Brady that it was Nate, claiming that he didn't want to get Nate in trouble because he was looking out for Stas.
Fuck Aaron.
Faulkner called them all in for a meeting, and of course, you can probably assume how well that one went. The dean wants to know why their Division I athletes have purposely injured another student. Aaron's parents are threatening to pull out their sizable donation to the new arts building, so you can see why the dean is very upset. The dean needs a name of someone who did it, and if he doesn't have a name, then they're all off the team until someone comes forward and admits the truth. Nate knew that he had to save his guys from forfeiting every single game and potentially losing their scholarships, so he said it was him. Coach Faulkner, though, just doesn't believe him. Like, he knows him well enough, and he's like, he just knew that it wasn't Nate. Nate's punishment is that he can't play until Aaron can skate again. He doesn't get to train with the team. He can't be a part of any of the team-related activities other than traveling, and they're not sure how long Aaron Aaron is out for. He's seeing a specialist this evening and they should know then, but it'll definitely be at least 2 weeks minimum based on the bruising of his wrist and hip. At this point, his migraine is completely raging and he feels like he's going to be sick. The walk to his car feels like a marathon and he reaches for more painkillers. He just really needs to talk to Sauce right now so that he knows she's okay. As he gets to her apartment, Aaron opens the door wearing only basketball shorts and he smiles at him. When he knocks on Stassi's door, she screams, "Go away, Aaron," and he takes his chance and opens the door and he finds Ryan propped up against her headboard, one arm wrapped around her and the other one stroking her hair while she sits between his legs crying into his chest. That's what Aaron wanted him to see and that's why he looks so snug and happy to see him. But the only thing that's making his heart hurt is because she looks so sad and so broken. She screams for him to get out. And she's like, "You lied to me again. You promised you didn't do anything and you lied." And he's like, "I didn't do anything. Can we please talk? I promise I didn't do anything." And she's like screaming at him. She's like, "Stop promising me things."
No.
As she's screaming, his migraine goes to like a whole new level and he feels like he can't breathe. His head's throbbing and he wants to tell her everything that's happening, but he feels like this intense stabbing behind his eyes. Even Ryan like pulls Stas off of him and he's like, "Dude, are you okay? Like, you do not look good." At this point, he's like starting to shut down. Stas runs up to him and she puts her hand on his forehead and he's like, "Well, she's never gonna touch me again. I might as well like lean into her touch a little bit." His entire body feels like it's being crushed bit by bit and he's able to whisper that he has a migraine. He'll just drive home. The last thing that he hears is that he can't drive.
That's the worst feeling.
Literally the worst. You literally feel like you're dying.
Yeah.
Stas has a therapy appointment with Dr. Andrews and she realizes that she's super homesick, which the homegirl needs therapy, so thank God she has a therapy appointment. He gives her a task of building boundaries with her parents and he said that he'd like to tell her parents that she doesn't want to discuss skating, even if it's just for one phone call, just to see how it feels knowing that it won't get brought up. She tells Dr. Andrews that Aaron was cleared by the doctor yesterday, so they are able to compete tomorrow. So it's been about 2 weeks since Aaron's arm incident. Last week, when she met with Dr. Andrews, she said that she felt smothered by Aaron. She said that even with the best intention, sometimes Aaron's kindness kind of feels like control. And the past week, Aaron's backed off, but she needs to process on her own, especially now that she has doubts about what happened. Next, he wanted to talk about Nathan. And last week, when he tried to bring up Nathan, she had to end the session early because she couldn't stop crying about him. She told him that she hasn't heard from him in 2 weeks because she's angry that he admitted that he was responsible for Aaron's accident after promising he wasn't. And he's made promises before, which turned out to be a lie to protect a teammate. And it makes sense to her that he would take the fall for Aaron's injury. She feels dumb, like someone's lying to her and they both can't be telling the truth, but she doesn't understand Aaron's point. Like, he has nothing to gain. He had no reason to lie. And Nathan, he just makes her feel wanted. And she doesn't think that he would jeopardize her competition, but she doesn't trust her judgment because she started to have feelings for him. The past 14 days for Nathan have been the longest of his life. It's Nate's first practice now that he's allowed to skate again since Aaron got cleared to skate, and he's in a good mood since he's had something to look forward to. Practice went great and he grabbed a little thing of Jägermeister to celebrate with his teammates, but as he walked into the hotel room, they all looked at him with somber faces and someone said that Faulkner was looking for him, that Nathan can't skate again, and that he's back on the bench. At this point, he's flipping out and he's like, "What the fuck do you mean he can't skate? They just competed today. Can someone tell me what the fuck is going on?" And Henry said flatly that he dropped her and that his wrist gave out when they performed today and that he dropped her. He immediately went to go to Stassi's house to make sure that she was okay and Lola reluctantly let him in. When Anastasia sees him, she does like a little double take and he's like, "Listen, like, I know you don't want to see me here, but I just had to see you and make sure you're okay." And she looks anything but okay right now. He apologizes for everything and he says that he fucked up so badly, but it's not in the way that she thinks, and she says she knows. They hug and she's crying into his chest and he's just soothing her and telling her, "Shh, baby, it's okay." And she's crying harder and everything is a total mess. And she said that everything was fine. They practiced and practiced and he was completely fine. They were at the end of their routine doing the lift and his wrist just went. And she thought that she was going to crack her head open and it all happened so fast. And Aaron thankfully caught her on the way down, but she bruised his leg. And as he swung her around, her skates like cut his leg open and he has these hideous cuts and bruises and she just feels guilty. They managed to qualify. They've been perfection up until that moment. She's just trying to make sense of the situation. He's helping her wash her hair and her body because when he asked her what she wanted to do, she immediately said she wanted to wash her hair, claiming that she couldn't face the tangles by herself. He tried not to gasp or stare at her when she took off her t-shirt and stepped under the running water because he could see purple bruises across her ribs and her stomach from the impact of Aaron catching her, and it was making him feel physically sick. She woke up this morning promising she would not cry this week. Nate told Stas last night that she has no idea the length that he would go to if she'd let him, what he would do to make her happy, and her heart did this weird thing where she'd only read about a mix between a thud and a flutter, the kind that made her question whether it would continue to even function properly. Their cute conversation was interrupted by the sound of Aaron banging shit around the apartment, probably unhappy that Nate was there, but he's hurting both physically and mentally too, but he hasn't found a healthy way to communicate with her. She found out that they're out for 8 weeks and she's concerned about herself. She's worried about how her new aversion to lives and her ability to keep up with Aaron. He could probably take a year off and she can't imagine him being anything less than spectacular when he gets back. Nationals is 8 weeks away and she has no idea if they're even going to be good enough to compete in that time. So she's just like sad, depressed, and overwhelmed. So she's like, I'm going to go to the fucking bar. I need a drink. She gets a little bit drunk by herself. These guys like move in and start hitting on her. And she's like, I'm going to go. And then as she was leaving, they're like, come on, like the fun's just starting. And then Russ walks up to her and he's like, sorry, I'm late, baby. And she's like, that's okay, Muffin. And they leave together. And she's like, what are you doing at a bar by yourself on a Monday? And he's like, I could say the same to you. And then she's like, I asked you first. And he's embarrassed, but he admits that he works there. And she's like, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I work at Simone's Rink. So they kind of like bond over the fact that they both have to work and stuff. She gives him the rundown of like why she's at the bar drinking by herself. She's like, I banned myself from crying, so alcohol is the next best thing. He texted Nate that he saw Stas, and she's like, you just fucking ratted me out. And he's like, well, I didn't tell him where, but he does have my location. I'm sorry. So he pulls up to the bar, and he drops Russ off. And then Nate's like, why are you drunk? Like, what's going on? And she kind of tells him the whole thing. And she's like, now that you know that I'm not okay, like, what's going on with you? Like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. But she tells him that she's terrified of being lifted up, that she can't practice because no one else has time. He cuts in and he's like, I'll be your partner. And she's like, no offense, but like, that's not gonna work. Like, hockey and ice skating are not the same thing. She's like, you can't just switch. It'll never work. And he's like, we have 8 weeks to figure it out. I might not be able to leap around in the air, but I can help you practice. I can do your lifts, even though I'm not trained. Like, we have time. I can help you.
I had a feeling this was gonna happen.
And then he kisses her and he's like, give me one reason why that's not gonna work. And she's like, because of that, she already likes him so much and she has to be able to focus. And he's like, okay, if you think I can't keep my dick in my pants, then you're wrong. Think about how good it's going to be teaching me to figure skate. Please say yes. She didn't think it was going to be a good idea, but she says yes anyways. Let's be partners.
Nate reassures her that this is a good idea, but tells her that if he loses one of the guys on the team, he's going to need her to step in and play some hockey. He tells her that if he can't touch her romantically for 8 weeks, he's going to make this moment before they get out of the car as skating partners count. They start making out, and he asks if he's still allowed to think about her when he jerks off, and she says as long as the rule applies to her too. A couple days later, they go out and buy Nate a pair of leggings to skate in, and she wants him to wear something flashy, but he's like, hell no, and just buys a bunch of black pairs.
Nate in some tights? Yes, please.
They have an awkward conversation where Stas tells him she doesn't expect him to stay celibate for the 2 months that he can't touch her, and he's like, don't be dumb. And also, I will fully be cock-blocking you this entire time. They start discussing meal prepping, and she shows him the meal plan Aaron made up, and it's basically all veggies and no protein. And he's like, I don't know what Aaron is trying to do, but you're secretly under-eating. He asks her if she bruises more easily lately or if she's been more irritable because she could be nutrient deficient, and she gets super defensive, but he tells her she needs carbs and more calories, and tells her he'll write her a new meal plan, and she says fine, but when she overeats and gains a few pounds, Aaron can tell and can't lift her, and Nate is like, no, he's controlling you, and I want to show Brady this meal plan so he understands the kind of guy that Aaron is.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple days later, it's time for their first figure skating practice, and Anastasia is pounding on Nate's door, trying to get him to open it, but he tells her that the leggings are way too tight, and he's not coming out because you can see literally everything, and she's like, okay, I get it, you have a big dick, just come out. He does, and when Anastasia sees how much of him is visible through the leggings, she's like, oh my god, and their coach tells him that he needs to put shorts on over the leggings.
He said, sir, your dick is too big.
When Nate leaves, Coach Brady looks at Anastasia and tells her this is is a slippery slope and she needs to be careful, but Anastasia says she's got it all under control. They do their warm-ups and practice their routine, and it isn't awful. And she tries to explain the different jumps to Nate, but he's not really getting it, but he is still trying really hard anyway. They finish up and he drives her home complaining about how sore he is, and she tells him he did great today and thanks him for everything that he's doing for her. When she gets upstairs, she sees Aaron sitting on the couch, so she decides to ask him about the meal plan and if it's enough calories, but he gets really defensive and snaps, asking why the fuck she's asking about it. She says it came up today, and he's like, who brought it up, Hawkins? You suck his dick a couple of times, and suddenly he knows better what you need than I do.
Ugh.
I know. Stoss is floored at his reaction, and he says, you know what, Anastasia? Fuck off. If Nate Hawkins is so fucking smart, go rely on him for everything, but when he gets bored of you, don't come crying to me because you're the one who drops your panties for anyone in a jersey.
Goodbye.
He storms off to his room, and Anastasia pulls out her phone crying and asks Nate to come pick her up. It's 2 weeks later, and Stoss and Nathan are basically spending every second together. He picked her up the night Aaron yelled at her, and she's been sleeping in his bed every night since, with a pillow barricade in between the two of them. She's been sticking to Nate's new meal plan, but he can tell she's getting really stressed out by eating more, and he thinks that Aaron's meal plan may have contributed to her developing some sort of disordered eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon, Stoss leaves the house to go see a movie with Lola when Nate's dad unexpectedly drops in, because I guess Nate's dad bought the house for him as like a guilt present because his dad's a piece of shit, but he bought him a house, so he's like, we're cool. Nate's been dodging his dad's phone calls, and his dad is pissed, and he asks why his dad would travel thousands of miles just because he isn't answering his phone, and his dad tells him that Nate needs to talk to his sister because she's unhappy and wants to quit skiing. Nate demands to know what happened that made his little sister so unhappy, what has his father done to make sure her needs are being met, and tells his dad that his little sister isn't a racehorse and should have filed for a man emancipation by now. Nate's dad catches him off guard by asking who the woman is that's staying here, because he's looked around and he sees a bunch of women's items, but Nate doesn't divulge any information about Anastasia. So his dad is like, clearly you're busy and don't want me here, so come have lunch with me before I leave in 2 days if you can stand to be around me for that long. And he leaves.
Yikes. Daddy issues.
Next practice, Stoss is trying unsuccessfully to master her fear of getting lifted in the air. And Nate's getting really good at skating, and she's starting to love the sport in a way that she hasn't in a really long time. Aaron shows up to the rink and asks to speak alone with Stoss, and Nate says, absolutely fucking not. She tells him she doesn't have anything to say to him, but Aaron tells her that's fine. He can be the one that does the talking if she'll just listen. So she says, fine, she'll meet him in the office in a couple of minutes.
Don't do it.
As she's walking to the office, she hears a bunch of other girls talking about how hot Nate is, and she's like, girls, coach is waiting for you, and they all scatter because they all know that that's his girl, and they're like, oh shit.
She says, move, bitch.
She said, that's my man. Don't talk about him.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your fucking yap.
Nate waits in the car while Stoss goes to talk to Aaron, and when she walks into the office, he tells her that he's been wanting to talk to her for a really long time, but he's been waiting until he wasn't mad at her anymore, and she's pissed now because why the fuck would he even be mad at her?
Yeah, he has no right.
What the fuck does she do?
He tells her that she moved out without warning and hooked up with a guy that is responsible for his injuries, and she tells him that Nate didn't do anything. Aaron tells her that she's just naive. She says if he just came here to attack her, then she's just gonna leave, but he says, no, I'm not attacking you. I just want to talk. And she says, no, you're literally attacking me. And she brings up the meal plan and says she's been under eating for months and has put herself at risk for injury, and he calls her fucking dramatic and says it's not his fault that she doesn't listen to her own body. And she's like, you literally groan when you have to lift me up. And he says he's not a bad guy for keeping her accountable.
Yes, you are.
I hate him so much. She tells him he cares too much about what she's doing and who she's doing it with, and that he's controlling. And he tells her that he misses her, but she says she won't come home until he understands what she's saying and when she can actually believe that he's changed. And he tells her that he wants to fix this, and she says she believes him, but right now that's not enough. Later that night, Stoss decides she wants to throw a party to blow off some steam. The guys get super drunk during a game of Never Have I Ever, and when her and Nate go upstairs, he tries to fuck her, but she says no, because drunk people can't give consent, which is what he told her earlier in the book.
True.
And they can't touch each other right now because of the figure skating. He passes out drunk, and she goes back downstairs to chit-chat with Lola, who tells her that Aaron is hooking up with Kitty Vincent, who's the snobby bitch from the beginning of the book.
Good for you, Aaron.
Two fucking bitches.
Then she looks around to see a very drunk Nate stumbling down the stairs in only his boxers, headed straight toward her, and he's agitated, saying that she wasn't there when he woke up and to come back to bed just for cuddling. And she goes upstairs with him, where he has demolished the pillow barricade, and he passes out immediately while she lays next to him, pressed against his body for the first time in weeks. The next day, Nate is still hungover, but they still need to practice for their competition. Nate decided that they're going to work on her fear of being thrown up in the air at the swimming pool, but when Sauce steps out, she's wearing this skimpy little pink stringy bikini.
Oh, girl.
They practice one of the jumps and it goes really well, so she says they need to practice another one, but she's a little worried because she has to spread her legs wide while she'll be above his head, and he says she's used his face as a seat before, and he's a big fan of her work. They practice the jump and it goes really, really well, and she tells him how strong he is, and he suggests doing the lift that she was doing when Aaron dropped her on the ice. She's visibly worried, but he promises her that he's not going to drop her, and even if he did, it would just be into the water. As he has her up in the air, she starts begging him to let her down, but he tells her to take deep breaths and even try and make herself fall down, but he has her so that she couldn't fall even if she wanted to. And he says, "See, you're safe." And she asks what she did to deserve him. That's a strong man.
That is.
We love him.
Lift her up.
Mm. A while later, it's Christmas break, and the house is being decorated to look like Santa's grotto, which, like, I don't quite understand what that is, but that's the theme they went for.
Okay.
Nate walks into the house, and she can't stop thinking about how beautiful he looks, and she misses her legs over his shoulders.
Oh. Also, why can't they fuck? It's just a decision they're making.
Yeah, because she said, she's like, I can't be, like, fucking you and practicing with you at the same time. It's too distracting. Ugh. But I feel like not fucking would be way more distracting.
Yeah, just fuck. I feel like it would help them, you know? You guys are getting closer and closer.
He notices and tells her to stop eye-fucking him, but if she wants to bang, he's totally down. She tells him she's debating on whether or not she wants to go to Seattle for winter break, but he suggests that she goes to his family's home in Colorado because nobody will be there and they can use the spa at the ski resort as much as they want. And they could even stop in Seattle on the way there and see her parents. And this is a big deal for her, so she says she wants to talk to her mom first, and he says, okay. Later on, they're laying in bed together, and she asks him what he wants for Christmas, but he said he's happy just having her, and she's like, yeah, but you can't unwrap me, and he says, ha ha ha, yeah, I can. It's been 4 weeks since they've had sex, and she is jonesing, so she straddles him, and he pulls her shirt off. He takes her body in and immediately takes her bra off and starts licking her nipple and asks if they're breaking all the rules, and she says, definitely. They start making out, and she tells him to tell her what he wants for Christmas or she won't let him come. He flips her over so that he's on top of her and says he doesn't know what he wants for Christmas and pulls her panties down and starts going down on her.
They're allowed to, like, hook up with each other, just not allowed to have sex?
No, they're just like, fuck it, let's do it.
Understandable.
She comes almost immediately, but he doesn't stop and tells her she can take one more. She comes again and pulls his boxers down, releasing his dick, and starts giving him a hand job, asking him again what he wants for Christmas. He says he only wants her. The past 4 weeks have been amazing, and if she gives him more of that, it'll be even better than Christmas. He reaches into the nightstand for a condom, but she looks at him and tells him she's on birth control and she's not having sex with anyone else, so they don't need to use one. He asks if she's serious, and she says yes, but she's never done it without one before, and he says he hasn't either, but they're both hella down.
He's like, Christmas morning, baby!
It's Christmas!
Nate seeking into me bare is like nothing I've ever experienced. Everything is 10 times more intense, and I can feel every bit of him. He's panting into my shoulder, letting me adjust after filling me. Oh my god, so fucking good, Anastasia. Jesus Christ, you're so wet and ready for me. He pulls back his hips and snaps them forward, skin slapping, echoing around the room. My skin feels ready to burst into flames, and every nerve is on edge. I want more. Hard and fast, I whisper, wrapping my legs around him and crossing my feet at the bottom of his back. I won't last. He groans. You feel too good. It's taking every ounce of self-control not to go right now. Using my feet to lift my hips and slide up and down him, rolling my hips when I get back to the tip. I want him to pound me into the bed and see him lose his mind. But Mr. Generous is too concerned about turning me into a quivering wreck. Again, I don't care, I tell him honestly. Give me everything you've got.
Fuck me! Fuck me hard, daddy.
He tells her to wrap her arms around him and remember that she asked for this as he starts to fuck her hard and fast. Look at you taking it all like a good fucking girl. I'm so close, I cry, gripping the back of his neck tightly with one hand and rubbing frantically between my legs with the other. Whose pussy is this, Anastasia? He gasps, his thrust getting rougher and sloppier. Oh my god, yours, it's yours. Come for me, let me feel you. Nathan, oh fuck. My entire body thrashes, tightens, stills, and melts simultaneously. I don't know which sensation to run with, so I settle for disintegrating. His body collapses on top of mine, chest heaving, body shaking as I feel him throb and jerk inside of me. Fuck.
Fuck.
Oh,
fuck.
Damn.
When they both come down from their orgasms, she's frustrated because he didn't even tell her what he wants for Christmas, and he tells her he thinks he just got his Christmas present early. The next night, the guys throw a huge party and everyone gets pretty drunk. Ryan shows up fresh out of a breakup with Olivia and is getting all handsy with Stoss. So it didn't last very long. Nate tries to play it cool and not lose his shit when Stoss politely declines Ryan. And she walks up to Nate and is like, don't be mad. He's always touchy when he's drunk, but the only guy I want is you. And she says she told Ryan he needs to respect the boundaries because she's with Nate now and he can't be all over her. And Nate is thrilled with the response. The party's winding down and everyone had a great night, but Aaron shows up and starts saying some shit about Stoss.
Aaron, you little bitch.
Fucking Aaron, leave it to him to ruin the party.
Henry gets pissed and starts beating the shit out of him, and Nate tries to break it up by pinning Aaron by the throat and gets punched in the face. Stoss walks in the middle of this and thinks Nate was fighting Aaron, but he and Henry explain what happened. And Lola tells her that Aaron is a sneaky little shit and they need to have a serious talk about living arrangements soon. And Nate takes Stoss upstairs. The next morning, they decide to shower together when she tells him how much she loves his shower head.
Oh.
And she's like, you got some good water pressure.
It'd be hitting all the spots.
He edges her a little bit, letting her get close to orgasm before moving the shower head away from her. She begs him to let her come, but he says, nope. So she says, okay, then fuck me. He carries her to the bed, and she gets on all fours with her ass pointed at him.
Such a pretty pussy, Anastasia, I praise, running my cock between her folds, watching the goosebumps spread across her back when the tip nudges her. Hurry up and fuck it then. She sighs when I line myself up. Please, so impatient, I coo, holding onto her hips tightly as I plunge into her, gasping at how wet she is.
You're wet. You're wet little puss. She bounces back against him and he feels like he's gonna come already, so he grabs her and pulls her up so her back is flush against his chest while sitting on his lap.
You're too big. You can take it though. I'm close. I'm so fucking close. The sound of her skin slapping against mine is second only to hearing her moan my name and seeing her play with her tits. I slip my hand between her legs and rub her swollen clit, using my other hand to tilt her head toward me. Are you gonna come for me? Ah. Whose girl are you? Her eyes lock with mine, taking my breath away. Yours. That's right, baby. I coo proudly. I'm almost there. She must see it as a challenge because her movements become sloppy and rough as she slams herself down hard over and over. Her body is shaking, arms reaching behind her to sink into my hair and tug tightly. Then every inch of her tightens and she practically screams, Nathan, oh my, oh fuck. That's all I needed for her to tip me over the edge. My balls tighten and I fucking explode inside her, sweaty forehead falling to her shoulder. Sweaty forehead.
She does the classic waddle to the toilet since she's filled with cum and gets back into bed with Nate. That's the worst.
The classic waddle.
We all know it. We've all been there.
I know. Yep. Nothing worse than like your sticky little thighs.
Mm. Ugh. And it's just dripping. You're trying to rush to the toilet before it all comes out. They have the what are we talk, and then she says she wants to talk to Henry to see what Aaron said about her that caused the fights last night. Henry comes in and tells her he doesn't want to say specifically what was said because it'll just hurt her. All that matters is that he got his ass kicked and he's gone. She never needs to live with him again, and even when Nate is gone next year, she can still stay at the house. She insists, so Henry caves and tells Stoss that Aaron has been talking shit about her for a long time, and he'd overheard him telling some of the other hockey players that she's just a jersey-chasing slut who's probably going to try and trap Nathan with a baby. And then he showed up to the party last night and asked where she was and accused Henry of fucking Stoss as well. Then Aaron said that she's just using them for a place to live and that nobody will ever be able to love her because even her own parents couldn't, and the ones who bought her only wanted her to fill up their trophy cabinet, and that's when he punched him.
Oh my fucking god.
He's a piece of shit.
We hate Aaron.
Yeah.
What a literal piece of shit.
Stoss breaks down crying and Nate holds her, telling her that he knows none of that is true and that he loves having her in the house with him, and all of the other guys do as well. Some time passes and it's time for their little trip to Washington and Colorado, and Nathan is very nervous about meeting her parents, but Stoss reassures him that it's going to be fine. Within minutes of being at their house, he feels like her parents are the most welcoming people he's ever met. Her mom even got them all matching Christmas footy pajamas.
How cute.
They all go out to eat in their PJs, and the waiter is none other than Stoss's first skating partner, first boyfriend, and first everything. And now Nate is like, oh shit. Stoss introduces Nate as her boyfriend, and they shake hands, and then James the ex takes their orders. Nate insists on paying for everyone's meals, and as they leave the restaurant, he thinks to himself that he is so, so in love with Stoss.
Nathaniel.
I know, and she's like, this is my boyfriend.
Cute.
Miss commitment phobe, she was like, that's mine.
That's my man.
A couple days later, they're off to Colorado, and the whole visit went amazing. Stoss even told her mom about what happened with the fight between Aaron and Henry and what was said, and her mom is appalled and assures her that none of what Aaron said is true. Because her mom's a nice lady.
Yeah.
They pull up to Nate's fancy Colorado mansion, and Stoss is shocked at how nice it is. She looks around for a while before Nate grabs her and takes her into his bedroom, and he apologizes that the house feels so cold, unlike her parents' home, and she tells him she's just so happy to be here with him. She climbs into his bed and immediately starts stripping, so he gets naked too, and asks what she wants to do, and she says she wants to watch him touch himself, and spreads her legs, baring herself to him. He lays down while she straddles him and starts to jerk off while moaning her name, and she tells him he's so hot and begs him to let her touch him, so she leans down and starts licking and kissing up his shaft.
Oh,
little horny bitch.
I feel her hot breath on the tip. She's that fucking close. But she kisses and licks her way down to my balls, sucking on them softly, letting the breath I'm holding go. I drag my hand through my hair when her tongue swirls around me. Fuck, you look so good. She carries on teasing me, touching everywhere but the tip that's throbbing and glistening with pre-cum. I know she's gonna keep going until I'm at the point where I'm ready to fucking beg her. I'm ready to beg now.
She finally puts his whole dick in her mouth and starts to suck the soul out of his body. And those are his words.
She enforced the Gluck Gluck 3000.
He starts to fuck her face, and he has to stop himself from telling her that he loves her for the first time during his blowjob. So he just tells her he's going to come and blows his load down her throat. They take a little nap, and later on, he takes her out to the backyard to skate on the frozen lake. And now Stoss is thinking to herself that she wants to be the one to tell him that she loves him, but doesn't know when the right time is. They have a little romantic skating session, and then Nate busts out some hockey sticks, and they play a little game together, but Stoss is not very good, so she loses. They go inside and cook some dinner, and they watch Home Alone 2 and get a little drunk, and Stoss is worried that she's going to slip up and use the L word on him. They finish the movie and cuddle up on the couch, and she starts to ask him about his relationship with his dad, and he tells her that his mom got sick when he was a kid and passed away, and then his dad got really distant and wasn't a good father anymore. And then later on, he found out that his dad had been cheating on his sick mother with a 25-year-old ski instructor.
Disgusting.
While she was sick, yeah. And now he just can't forgive him. And Robbie, the guy that lives with them in the wheelchair, got injured on their property in the accident, and his father refused to pay any of his medical bills, so he's kind of just a piece of shit.
Oh, a giant piece of shit.
Sleazeball.
And he's like, don't worry, my dad kind of taught me what not to do as a father, so our kids will be fine. And then he's like, oh shit, that didn't come out right. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that we were going to have kids.
Yeah, you did.
And Stoss blushes and says, I want to adopt anyway. And Nate says that sounds good to him. And then she tells him that pushing out his big ass baby would absolutely annihilate her vagina. And he says, noted. They go to bed, and when Stoss wakes up, she's alone, but she finds a note in place of him on the bed, and it says that he's running a top secret errand, but he'll be back soon. She immediately gets dressed and puts on her skates and runs out to the backyard to the lake again. While she's out there, she sees a deer and starts to follow it. When her phone rings, she answers it, and it's Nate, and he asks her where she is. He can't find her, and she tells him that she's at the edge of the woods following a deer, and he tries to tell her to come back because it isn't safe, but he doesn't even get the rest of his sentence out before the ice cracks under her, and she falls into the freezing water.
No!
Yep.
Oh no!
It's stressing me out.
Nate rushes outside to find her, and he sees her struggling to keep her head above the water where the ice had cracked beneath her. He'd come prepared with a life preserver, and he's able to throw it to her, but as he's yelling out to her, she's not responding. But she's able to grab onto the preserver and he pulls her out. Her lips are blue and her skin is pale and she isn't breathing. He pulls off her frozen jacket and starts doing CPR when she finally starts to sputter and cough all the water out. He scoops her up and rushes her inside, placing her in the shower to run some warm water over her. He stripped all of her clothes off so she can get back to a normal body temperature quicker and reassures her that she's doing so good and that she's gonna be okay. And he'll take her to the doctor as soon as she warms up a little bit. Stoss starts to cry, so he strips and gets in with her and just holds her. And she tells him she thought she was gonna die, but he tells her that he'll never drop her or let her drown, and he's always gonna be there to save her.
King!
I know. So she finally tells him that she loves him, and that this isn't because of the trauma, that she's actually in love with him, and it was her last thought before she fell through the ice. And he tells her that he's so in love with her, too.
We love love. Cute.
He brings her to the hospital, and the next morning they wake up, and it is Christmas. And this is not how Nate was planning on spending it with her.
Merry Chrysler.
Merry Christmas.
She gets discharged later that day, and they drive back to the house, and Stoss has to call her family from Nate's phone because hers is in the bottom of the lake, and she has to tell them what happened. And her parents absolutely freak out, and she has to convince them not to fly out to Colorado.
Oh, supportive mom and dad.
I know. A week goes by, and Nate is still tending to her, booking her treatments at the resort spa, keeping all of the fireplaces lit, and making sure she stays warm. She has to convince him that she's safe now, everything's okay, and he can stop fussing over her. She asks him if they should finally open their Christmas presents now, and he's like, I thought you already gave me my present. Because it's like almost New Year's and they still haven't opened presents.
Coming inside of me is not a freaking Christmas present, Nathan. It makes me feel jolly when I do it.
I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
That was funny.
Nate got her two super cute pairs of pajamas that she loves and an iPad that she can use for her virtual therapy sessions and as a digital planner, and she absolutely loves it. Stoss surprises him by showing him that she's wearing just a Titans jersey with his last name on the back, and he tells her that he wants to fuck her while she wears it, so she says, yes, Captain.
Oh.
She tells him to get naked and lie down on the kitchen island and ties his hands above his head with the Christmas ribbon. She starts to rummage around in the fridge, and he asks her what she's doing, but she just tells him to be patient. She comes back with a can of whipped cream and squirts some of it into her mouth, and then she starts to spray it on him and licking it off as she goes. She straddles him and licks the whipped cream off his abs as they hump a little bit, and just as he tells her that he needs to be inside of her, an alarm goes off, alerting Nate that the front door has just been opened, and his little sister walks into the kitchen.
No!
Oh, no.
Sasha is like, what the fuck? Nice to meet you, Stassi. I'd hug you, but I don't really want to right now. And then she lets them know that they should probably get dressed before their dad walks in, because he's outside getting groceries out of the trunk.
Oh, surprise!
Meet the family.
Nice to meet you.
They rush to Nate's room and pull on some clothes, and now Stoss is freaking out about meeting his dad right now, but she refuses to take the jersey off because she wants his dad to see how much she supports his hockey dream. They go downstairs, and Sasha is sitting on the couch alone watching TV and lets them know that their dad went to the resort and wants everyone to meet him there for lunch in an hour, and finally introduces herself properly to Stoss. Nate asks why they're back 2 days early, and Sasha tells him that the alleged vacation that their dad took her on was basically just a retreat for athletes, and she insisted that he bring her home because she wasn't having any fun. Sasha and Stoss get to know each other a little bit until it's time to leave to go meet their dad at the restaurant. They get seated by the maitre d', and after a few minutes, they hear a voice from behind them saying, hello, Nathaniel, and who do we have here?
Gross.
Is it his bitch-ass dad?
It's his bitch-ass dad.
We automatically hate him.
Nate introduces Stoss as his girlfriend, and Stoss forces a smile and tells him it's nice to finally meet him. But Mr. Hawkins just looks at Sasha and is like, why didn't you change out of your plain clothes, in a super snarky way? And Stoss jumps to her defense and says, you look really comfortable. I wish I would have put on more comfortable clothes.
Yeah. Period, queen.
Mr. Hawkins asks Stoss about herself, and she tells him she's from Seattle and she's going to school in Maple Hills. Their drinks come and everything is super tense when a beautiful blonde woman working at the restaurant comes over and says hi to Nate, saying that she didn't know he was in town and he really should have told her.
Who are you?
Some bitch.
Fucking whore.
Nate doesn't really acknowledge her and makes it clear that he's here with Stoss by wrapping his arm around her shoulder. The water she brought to the table had ice in it, even though Stoss explicitly ordered water with no ice. And Mr. Hawkins says to Ashley, which is the waitress, take these drinks back and bring Anastasia a glass with no ice like she ordered. She is a part of this family and a guest, and I'm going to pretend that you gave her the courtesy of actually looking at her and apologizing for the mistake as you would with any other customer. And don't let this happen again or you'll be spending the new year looking for a new job.
Oh, if he wasn't such a sleazeball, that would be hot.
Yeah. We can fix him.
Yes, we can.
We can. She quickly shuffles away and corrects her mistake, and they order some food. And when Sasha starts to order a chicken burger and fries, Mr. Hawkins tries to say that she'll just have the chicken and cashew salad dressing on the side. But Stoss cuts in and says the world isn't going to end if she eats a burger.
Yes, Stoss.
Yeah. Mr. Hawkins says, not that it has anything to do with you, but Sasha has a competition coming up and she needs to stick to her meal plan. And Stoss says, so do I, but one burger isn't a big deal. I'm getting a burger, and if she wants one, she should have one too. We love the character development.
Yes. We do. Yes.
Nate squeezes Stoss's knee under the table and tells the waiter, 3 chicken burgers, please. No salads.
Give me French fries. Put some lard on it.
As soon as the waiter leaves, Mr. Hawkins scolds both of his children for undermining him in front of his staff and demands they show him some respect. They finish their awkward dinner and go back to the house, and Nate takes a quick little nap before they have to get up and get ready for a New Year's Eve party tonight that Mr. Hawkins is throwing. Nate wakes up and tells her that they can just stay in his room. They don't have to go if she doesn't want to, because apparently that Ashley girl is going, and he reassures her that Ashley is nothing compared to Stoss. Stoss tells him that she doesn't even know why she's jealous, but just is, and Nate tells her this is the first time in years he's even enjoyed being in this town, and that is solely because she's here with him. He climbs on top of her, and they make sweet, passionate love. And when he comes inside of her, Stoss thinks to herself that she doesn't know how they're ever expected to be 2 separate people ever again.
She's changed so much.
I know.
It's love, baby.
The next day, they're getting ready to leave Colorado, and Nate goes down to the kitchen where he bumps into his dad, who starts asking about Stoss. He asks Nate if he's in love, and Nate says yes. And his dad says, good, I really like her. She's strong-willed, and she reminds me a lot of your mother. Which, like, I would be like, shut the fuck up.
Don't ever. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. They fly back to LA, and on the plane, Stoss is reading a smutty book. And when Nate asks her what she's reading, she tells him a little bit about the plot. And he tells her that anything she reads, he'll do to her when they get home.
Oh. Yes.
You got tentacles in a knot, baby? Because, okay.
So do I.
Take notes.
When they walk into the house, everyone is freaking out about Stoss almost drowning, but she just wants to go to bed. So they head upstairs and start talking about what's going to happen when Nate moves to Canada next year. And Stoss tells him that she doesn't want to live here without him, and she just wants to go back to her apartment. Lola has been keeping her up to date on the Aaron situation, and she thinks he's finally ready to start sorting things out between the two of them, and now Nate is pissed.
Yeah, I would have been like, no, there's no fixing that.
Yeah.
No. And then she drops the bomb that Aaron's been cleared to skate so Nate can go back to playing hockey and Aaron will be Stoss's skating partner again.
No!
Nate loses his shit and says, so we're not going to be skating together and you're moving out. Will I just be a Thursday night hookup when you make time for me in your planner? And she tells him she knows he's upset, but he cannot speak to her that way.
Yeah.
All she wants to do is hear Aaron out, and Nate is jumping to conclusions. The next day, Nate immediately goes to a florist and buys Stoss a bouquet of I'm sorry flowers.
As he should.
Yeah, that was kind of fucked up.
I understand why he's upset. He literally said some of the most fucked up shit about her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah. I want to hear him out.
I'm going to go live with him.
No.
No!
Stoss has a meeting with Coach Brady and Aaron. And as soon as she sits down, Aaron starts to profusely apologize for being awful to her and tells her that he found out his dad had an affair, his parents are getting divorced, and his dad got someone their age pregnant. And now he's going to have a sibling, and his stepmom is going to be someone he could have possibly dated. And Stoss tells him that doesn't have anything to do with her.
Yeah, period. No.
He breaks down and says that she hasn't been around and he's needed her and her support, but she's been partying and hanging out with all the hockey guys and he felt alone and angry. Then Aaron suggests they go to couples therapy with a therapist that he looked up, but not in a romantic way, just as teammates.
Fuck off.
Aaron can literally suck a dick.
Stoss's knee-jerk reaction is that he's manipulating her by asking her to do this in front of Coach Brady, so she tells him that she has to think about it, but for now they can have a professional partnership. She goes out that night and gets blackout drunk with Lola and wakes up the next morning hungover in bed with Lola and Robbie, not remembering how she got there at all. She texts Nate asking him if he's awake, and he explains that he tried to put her in bed when they came home, but she wanted to sleep with Lola for some snuggles. She asks him to come into the room and carry her back to her bed. He starts her a shower and cleans her up as she vomits and makes her some breakfast and leaves her tucked in bed while he heads to the gym, and she takes a little hangover nap. That's the worst feeling.
The worst. Really is. Well, don't miss it.
When he gets back from the gym, she apologizes for getting upset with him the day before, and he tells her that she already apologized about 30 times last night and then tried to seduce him. She tells him about what happened at the meeting with Coach Brady and Aaron and how he wants to do couples therapy. And Nate is like, I don't want to upset you, but that seems fishy.
And it does.
Yep.
2 weeks pass, and every time Stoss comes home from the sessions with Aaron, she's tired and overwhelmed, but she won't tell Nate what's upsetting her so much during the sessions. The hockey arena is finally opened back up, so they don't see each other at practices anymore now that Nathan's back on the hockey team. Nate has his first game back, and Stoss and Lola have the best seats to watch them play. And he plays really well, and the Titans win.
Yeah.
Go Titans.
Yeah,
baby.
They're all gonna go out and celebrate with some drinks and dinner, but Nate can tell there's something bothering Stoss, and he knows she had a session with Aaron earlier. He asks her how it went, but she says they'll talk about it later. He presses the issue, and she gets upset and says, please, I don't want to talk about it, let's just have fun, and he asks why she won't just tell him what's going on, and she tells him because he's not gonna like it and knows how he's going to react, and she just wants to celebrate tonight.
What the fuck did that little sleaze do?
Yeah. He gets a gut feeling and asks her if she's moving out, and she says, yes. The therapist thinks it's a good idea for Aaron and Stoss to live together to get in the zone for the competition coming up. This turns into a fight where Nate calls Stoss naive for not noticing that the therapist that Aaron handpicked all of a sudden wants them to live together. And she tells him that he needs to trust her to make her own decisions because she knows what she's doing. And he deals a low blow and asks if Aaron will let her eat if she moves back in. And then she tells him that if he can't talk to her with respect, then not to talk to her at all. Nate tells her that he just doesn't want to see her hurt again, and Stoss grabs his hand and says, let's just go celebrate your win. A few days later, she moves out and is back in the apartment with Aaron and Lola. Things are still extremely tense between Aaron and Stoss, and their therapy sessions are extremely stressful for her. He hasn't explicitly changed her meal plan, but she can feel his eyes on her every time she eats. So after the third night, she blurts out to Lola that she doesn't want to live at the apartment next year, and she doesn't want to move back into the hockey house. So Lola says, okay, let's move out together. The next practice at the rink, Aaron keeps grunting and groaning every time he lifts Stoss up in the air. Ugh. And she confronts him on it, and he says, give me a fucking break. You can't just put on weight and not expect me to need a little time to adjust.
Fucking dick.
Yep. She calls him a dick and skates off, shaking with anger. Meanwhile, at the hockey house, Nate has been moping around ever since Stoss moved out, and the guys finally confront him about it and say Stoss is a big girl and she's using Aaron as a means to an end to achieve her dreams as a figure skater, and he needs to get over his ego.
I mean, true. That is true. Yeah.
But also, I understand where he's coming from.
Yes. That yeah. too. I see both sides.
Stoss and Nate have a date later on that night, and Robbie tells him that Nate needs to tell her that he's behind her 100% and supports anything that she decides to do. A few hours later, he goes to pick her up to take her to a new seafood restaurant in Malibu, and he tells her how much he missed her after not seeing her for a few days. After a while of chatting in the car, he tells her that he owes her an apology. He's been selfish, and he doesn't want to make her feel like she needs to choose between him and Aaron. She reassures him that nobody could ever take his place, and every minute she spends skating with Aaron, she's thinking about how much she'd rather be skating with Nate instead. And then she tells him what happened at practice when they got into a fight, but Nate tries his hardest not to overreact about it. They have a nice dinner, and he reluctantly drops her off at her apartment. She goes inside, but she feels restless. She misses Nate so much, she calls him and asks him to come over and stay the night, and promises that Aaron is in his room and they won't have to have any sort of contact. And he's like, immediately, I am on my way.
He said, you don't gotta say it twice. I'll be there.
Say no more, baby.
As soon as he knocks on the front door, she rips it open and they quickly get to her room and start doing a little stripping and making out. And she tells him that she wants him so badly, and he asks her what she wants. And she says, your mouth on my pussy. And he happily obliges.
You like that? He
Do you like that?
And you like that? He coos, knowing full well the answer is yes. My hands sink into his hair, tugging him closer, pushing him away, holding him in place, using him as an anchor to keep me on this bed. Nate, I cry, not quite sure what I'm crying for. I know, baby. I know it's good. He slips a finger inside of me, then another, curling them around, and I'm almost there. You gonna come for me? He asks that a lot.
Yeah, come for me? I'd be like, I was. Not anymore.
Stop asking.
He climbs on top of her and starts running his dick between her folds. And as he pushes inside of her, she does a little kegel.
Oh.
And he tells her to stop squeezing or this is going to be over in 30 seconds. He fucks her hard and fast until they both come and tells her that he loves her. And she says, I love you too. The next morning, it's time for Stoss and Aaron's big competition. And the Titans also have a game. So they promise to keep each other updated on what happens. Little does Stoss know that Nate has plans to hop in the car immediately after his game ends and speed over to watch her compete.
I know.
If he wanted to, he would.
True.
Nate's team wins 9-3 against their rivals at UCLA. And as he's heading out to go watch Stoss, one of the UCLA guys stops him and says that he'd heard a rumor about Nate figure skating for a few weeks. So Nate explains the situation that happened between Stoss and Aaron and how he had to step in to be her partner for a few weeks. And the other guy recognizes Aaron's name and is like, Aaron injured his wrist playing football with us. Whatever he told you was a lie. And now Nate is super pissed.
Dick.
Get him.
He doesn't know what he wants to do with the information he just learned, but he knows that he doesn't want it to affect Stoss right now. The performance goes flawlessly and the crowd goes wild, and Nate is so absorbed in watching them that he doesn't look at his phone, which has been constantly vibrating in his pocket. And as soon as Stoss and Aaron's performance is over, Aaron grabs Stoss's face and kisses her in front of everybody.
Oh my god.
Cameras start going off, and now Stoss is freaking out that Nate's back in LA watching all of this unfold, and she doesn't know how she's gonna explain it to him. She doesn't even wait for their scores before she storms off the ice and breaks down in tears. Aaron comes up and is like, what's the big deal? And she's crying, saying that she didn't want to. She didn't want to kiss him. Nate bursts in, asking Stoss if she's okay, and she's crying, saying that she just wants to go home. Nate says, you forced yourself on her, you piece of shit, and smashes his fist into Aaron's cheek.
Yeah.
Period.
Coach Brady tells Nate to get out of here and everyone needs to calm down. Stoss tells Coach Brady and Aaron that she's done and she'll never skate with Aaron ever again. And Aaron is like, good luck ever getting another partner and being ready for the Olympics without me. And Stoss tells him that she'll go solo and if her score puts them through to the next round to tell the judges that she withdraws. Aaron tells her that she can't do this after everything he's done for her and to stop being a stubborn bitch and she's ruining his life.
Fuck him.
And finally, Coach Brady snaps at him to stop. Stoss tells him that she's going to go find Nate and then she's going home. All Aaron has ever done is put her down and use her and manipulate her, and she'd rather lose alone than succeed with him.
Good for her.
Nate drives them both back to Maple Hills, and Stoss's phone is blowing up with her parents trying to call her, and Stoss is freaking out because she thinks her parents will be mad at her for withdrawing. But Nate assures her that they're not going to be mad at her and offers to answer the phone. He speaks to Stoss's mom and lets her know that Stoss is okay. She's just really upset and they're going to head back to Maple Hills, and he drops the bomb that he punched Aaron in the face. But his mom is just like, good, it was justified, and we're very proud of Stoss.
Yes, mom. Yeah.
When they get back to the apartment, they walk into Lola packing up all their shit, and she tells them they're moving out right now. They'll stay at the house until they find a place of their own, and Stoss turns to look at Nate and asks him if he's ready to play house every single day, and he says as long as it's with her.
Cute.
Aww.
3 months later, things are going really well with everyone, and Nate was pulled into the sports director's office, and he tells Nate that he was approached by a student regarding the incident involving him and Aaron Carlisle, and it was brought to his attention that Aaron was injured off campus while drunk with his friends, and he used the opportunity to try and ruin Nate's reputation, and that he knows Nate only admitted to it to protect his team, and now the entire incident has been erased from his college records, and Aaron will be transferred to UCLA immediately.
Good.
Yeah.
Bye, bitch.
Bye.
We're in the epilogue. It's 2.5 years later. Nate and Stoss are expecting their first child and are living in Seattle, and they even have a dog. Oh. And it's a golden retriever named Bunny.
Cute.
Oh.
They go on a cute little vacation to Cabo, and Nate gets them a reservation at a fancy restaurant with a private beach area. Obviously, he proposes to her, and she screams, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, so cute.
I do.
The end.
What an ending.
Applause, applause.
Oh, I loved this one.
How many red pepper emojis do you give it?
I think I would give it 4.5. I liked it.
It was cutesy. Yeah.
It was cutesy.
Is Nate hot?
Yeah, he's a little hottie. He is a hottie.
Nate is daddy.
He's a caring, supportive hottie.
He is.
He says some dirty, filthy things out of his mouth, and I love it.
He does, but he's so sweet.
He is.
I know.
Would you trade places with Stoss?
Me, yeah.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Sounds fun, yeah.
Aaron can fucking kick rocks, but besides that, yeah.
Be a little skinny little ice skater.
All right, so next week we're telling Riley all about Done and Dusted by Lila Sage, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Oh. Are we doing a little cowboy romance?
Yes. Yeehaw, baby.
And it does say on it, a sweet slow burn, sunshine in written form. I love that. I feel like it's going to be a big city gal moves out into the country for some reason and finds her just a little cowboy and fucks him.
That's cute.
I can't wait.
It's like the Hannah Montana movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She gets a cute little horse and gets they gallop into the sunset.
And she rips off her wig and she's like, I am Hannah Montana.
Yep. Just like that. She's just going to be a country little bumpkin.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo! Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.